Psalms 100 this morning, one of the probably the most quoted, memorized psalms besides Psalms 23 in the Word of God. We'll read it to you this morning, and this is really a psalm of thanksgiving, and we'll deal more about that in just a little bit. But the title says a psalm of praise. Verse 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Verse 5, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and His truth endureth to all generations. Let's remain standing for prayer. Pray for us and with us, please. Our fathers, we bow before you again this morning. Want to thank you for your grace that is always sufficient. It's always what's needed, and it is always on time, never late, and it's never too little. Lord, I thank you, dear God, today for being my sufficiency. Thank you, Lord, for being my satisfaction and my salvation. Lord, the change in my life I did not do myself. Lord, you, through your Holy Spirit, working in me, on me, Lord, brought that about. Thank you for making me willing in the day of your power. Thank you, dear Lord, for helping me, Lord, over the humps of life. Thank you for the many times that I've gotten cold in my heart, that, Lord, you wouldn't let me go. You kept speaking and dealing and convicting and even chastening my own heart. Lord, I thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to be in your house today. Oh, Lamb of God, I pray that you'd be able to smile upon the service. Lord, I wonder how many that are in this building today, Lord, really have come to worship you. Lord, I wonder how many today, Lord, their heart really beats God for you. Oh, Lord, I wonder really, can you find within people of this congregation a real heartfelt, abiding gratitude to you, Lord, for your goodness to us. And Lord, I believe if we're not grateful, there's no way we can worship you. And Father, I pray that you'll help me this morning to say something that you can use to stir our hearts in your direction. Bring conviction upon sin. Draw sinners to yourself. Lord, may we see somebody get right with God today. Lord, what a great, great day that would be for them. Lord, I pray again, Lord, that you'd be able to smile upon the service. Help me with that special unction and anointing, God, that only comes from you. Lord, I know what it is to labor in the flesh and the pulpit. Lord, there's nothing comes from that except defeat and a waste of time. But I know what it is as well to stand, God, with your touch. And I pray this morning, oh God, that you'd touch me this morning. Help me, Lord, to preach not where we are, but where we need to be. And dear God, may the Spirit of God challenge us and convict us and pull on us. Dear God, getting us where we need to be today. Lord, get maximum glory. Help us to get ready for heaven because we could be there before dark. Lord, I pray, oh God, that we would desire to worship you this morning with our lips as well as with our lives. And Lord, we'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As we look at this psalm together this morning, I don't think that I can get done with it this morning. And if not, if the Lord leads, we may deal with the rest of it next Sunday morning, if that be His will. If not, then whatever else He would want, that'd be fine with me. But the world as we live, as we know it and are living in it as believers, it is very evident that specifically our country, because we're living here, it's the reason for my emphasis, is seemingly doing everything that it can to do away with all traces of our godly and Christian heritage. And very few people are speaking out and standing up against that. Any special occasion or special day that is given to Christ has been so distorted and distracted by a worldly fabricated invention, such as Easter, a time that we celebrate the resurrected Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection, of paramount importance. But yet the world has created and fabricated an egg-laying bunny to capture and to distract our attention, not my attention, but the attention of many today from the real Christ and the real purpose. Now, if that bothers you, you're going to have a hard time through the rest of the service. Amen. Because it won't bother me a bit to kill your Easter bunny. Amen. Amen. Anything that distracts from the Savior and robs him of maximum glory and pulls kids' attention away from the worthy Christ, it won't bother me a bit, amen, to crucify it. But the world has done that on Easter. And then, of course, Christmas. We know that's a time that our attention is given on a national scale and should be worldwide to the virgin birth of our wonderful Savior, the time of incarnation, the time that we honor the fact God became man. God stepped into a robe of flesh and suffered like no man has ever suffered. But the world to try to disguise and downplay and distract and distort the great Bible truth of the virgin birth of Christ and his incarnation and his divine mission and purpose for coming to this world to be lied on, to be called names, to be abused and persecuted and to be spit on and to be ultimately crucified on an old rugged cross. But yet the world can fabricate a jelly belly from the north called Santa Claus that does not exist. And I don't blink and don't blush when I say that. Amen. And don't lie to your kids. Tell them you buy the toys. Tell them Jesus is the reason for the season. They don't care where it comes from as long as they get it. Say amen. That's right. That's a truth, friend. Amen. It burns me up. I'm jealous over God. Are you jealous over God? God's jealous over you. Are you jealous over God when you see things and when you see fairy tales and when you see things like I've mentioned creeping in and taking glory away from the Lord? Does that bother you? Do you feel a righteous indignation stir up within you about that? Or do you kind of play along to get along? And I know, I can tell by looking at you, you got that little well preacher, that little insignificant story won't make much difference. Well, the last time I checked, a lie is a lie. It don't matter if it's little. It don't matter if it seems to be insignificant. A lie is a lie. And the Bible said, thou shalt not lie. So why do you lie to your children? We're off to a good start this morning. We're off to a good start. I may have to do my own amens this morning, but that'll be fine with me. But Thanksgiving, a day that we nationally give God the praise and the glory, it is not a day that we celebrate or commemorate a battle. It's not a day that we honor somebody's birthday or an anniversary of some special event. It's a day that we give God the glory. And you write it down. I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet. I'll tell you this as sure as you live in this country and the direction it's going in. Mark it down. Friend, it won't be long till there'll be laws made and there'll be an announcement made that Thanksgiving will no longer be called Thanksgiving. They'll turn it into something. Because you can't, listen, Thanksgiving is all about giving thanks to a giver. Who is the giver? God. Amen. And our country will attempt to change that just as sure as your name is what it is. People right now are being fired for religious causes. Amen. They're being fired for religious causes. Our country is so politically correct and so non-offensive and so tolerant and anything goes except being a Christian, of course. Amen. And then if you're a Bible believer, then you're a criminal. If you're a Bible believer, it may come a day that you may lose your job over that. There may come a day that I may have to go to jail for what I preach. Who knows what we're living in? What's sad was that our forefathers led this country in thanksgiving. Amen. In 1789, George Washington made the public proclamation, and I'm going to read it to you, amen, just a little part of what he said and how that he gave a strong and absolute acknowledgement of the fact of God and our nation's dependence upon him. Here it is, by the President of the United States of America proclamation. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will. This coming from a president now. We can only dream of that ever happening probably again. Are you listening? Amen. Amen. Lord, help me to stay focused this morning. I want to get on that, but I'm going to be focused. Try to. But it's the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of the Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefit, and to humbly implore His protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress, have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by the acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November next, to be devoted by the people of the states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all of good that was, that is, and that is to come. So read the first presidential Thanksgiving proclamation. Yeah, can you imagine that? It's hard to have a thankful nation when you have a governmental administration in general that leads our country away from that and say it's not politically correct and say that it's not, you don't need to do that and you shouldn't say that. I mean, it's all right to burn the flag, but don't say anything about God, you know. I mean, it's all right to do whatever, you know, as a Muslim or as a homo or as an abortionist, amen. Our president bestowed one of the highest honors in our country on one of the most militant abortionists of our day. The president's prior in the beginning that stood for our country and stood for God, they'd roll over in their grave if they knew what's going on today. Amen. That's right. God help us. But Psalms 100 is a psalm of thanksgiving. It is a psalm of thanksgiving. Most of the psalms, several of the psalms, will say a psalm of David. A psalm of David. But this particular psalm says a psalm of praise. There's only one other psalm that is remotely close to that, and that is Psalms 145, and it says David's psalm of praise. And of course, I know it says praise, but I'll show you in a few minutes that the word praise and thanksgiving are interchangeably used with this Hebrew word. But it's a thanksgiving psalm. And here's the point I want to try to drive home this morning. Thanksgiving is not an isolated subject. It is not an isolated subject. In other words, if there's thanksgiving in your heart, if there's gratitude in your heart, it will be attached to other things in your life. You can't just stand up and say, I'm thankful, and then your life be completely detached from that. Okay? In this passage, in this psalm, there are no less than seven thanksgiving commandments. And that's what I want to preach on this morning. Or at least begin. There are seven. Are y'all okay? Some of y'all hadn't got over those last few statements I made. Some of you is a little bit bothered already. Have I done damage to Christ, Brother Fultz? Have I said anything degrading about Christ? Have I said anything low rating about Christ? Have I got out of the Bible about anything about Christ? Then why are you mad? Why you got the poochie limp this morning? Say amen right there. That's right. It won't hurt you. It'll help you. Amen. But listen, Thanksgiving is not isolated. It's not an isolated subject. Thanksgiving is not just words. It's easy to say thank you and not even mean it. It's easy to say, something about Thanksgiving and it be just completely void of thought or feeling or emotion or will. I mean, I've opened the door, coming out of a store or something for a lady. Never even say thank you. I want to say, you're welcome, but I didn't, I didn't. I retained my testimony and tried to. But it's not an isolated subject. There are seven of these commands given here in this psalm, and we want to focus on them if we could this morning. The first one is found in verse number 1, and I'll give you the words. All of these words, I'll give you all seven of them, I believe there's seven, if I counted it right. There's seven words here that are in the imperative mood. Imperative means it's an order, and it's a command. So these are not suggestions. These are not recommendations. And by the way, these are not words given to sinners. These are words given to the children of God. Verse number 1, the word make. Verse 2, the word serve. Verse 2, the word come. Verse 3, the word know. Verse 4, the word enter. Verse number 4, be thankful. Be is another one of those words. And also verse 4, the last word is bless. All of those words are imperative. They're orders. They're commands that have been given to God's people. Be thankful unto Him. And I believe that, let me ask you this. The Lord spoke to my heart sitting over there a while ago. You think it's a sin to not be thankful? Now, I want us all to think about that this morning. Is it a sin for us to not be thankful? What makes something a sin? If we sin against the Bible, right? Well, if you don't have to turn there. I want to reference this verse of Scripture just for just so that you'll know that it's in the Bible. And you know it's there. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse number 18 says, in everything give thanks. Listen, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. What does that verse say? That verse says it's the will of God for you to be thankful. So if we're not thankful, that means we're out of the will of God. And to be out of the will of God means we need to get right with God. Nod your head like this right here. For out of the will of God, that means we're not right with God. Revival will break out when we have revival of gratitude. When we have a revival of appreciation and honor of our Savior. Amen. I never have had anybody in my whole ministry get mad at me for preaching it tight and preaching it right who really have a heart to want to honor God and please God with their life. But that crowd that wants to be a fence straddler and want to travel in the middle of the road. In fact, the only thing I've ever seen in the middle of the road is yellow streaks. and run over possums, amen, skunks. But you know what? Listen, that crowd, I mean, if you get away from just the simplicity of the gospel and get in, amen, they get the poochily up and they stay mad about half the time. But if you really got a heart to please God and honor the Lord, you want a preacher to tell it right. You want him to preach to you the word of God just as it is to you as you are. Is that right? And I've said this before, it's worth repeating. We want the doctor to tell us the truth. We want the mechanic to tell us the truth. We want everybody to tell us the truth. When we go to church, we don't want the preacher to tell us the truth. That's the truth. Amen. But I'm by the grace of God, now I'm saying that. By the grace of God, I want to try to be true to my calling. God called me to preach, not to be popular. God called me to preach. And I want to challenge our young preachers, all the preachers in the church, that you would do likewise. Be more interested in pleasing God than you are pleasing people. Won't be popular. You won't be the most talked about man in town. Everybody won't be flocking around to pat you on the back. But one day after a while, you'll meet the captain of the host. Hallelujah. You'll meet the one that called you into salvation and also into service. And to be able to hear him say, "Enter in, thou good and faithful servant." Hallelujah. Boy, that right there means more to me than all the applause of all mankind. Amen. Amen. I mean, I want people to like me, Brother Silas. I do. I want people, but I don't want to compromise in order to have it. Amen. All right, let's deal with these. First of all, and we won't get too many of them, I can see, but I want to deal with a few of them, if the Lord will help me this morning. The first commandment of thanksgiving given in verse number 1 is word where it says make. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. The first commandment, I call it joyful, the commandment of joyful praise. Joyful praise. Boy, I thought about that. Make a joyful noise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. I've been riding around this week, last few days, quoting this whole psalm, just quoting it back and forth by myself, just quoting it. And about every time I'd quote it, something else would stand out to me and stick out to me and catch my attention. And I was quoting it, I don't know how many times I'd quoted it, and I was quoting verse 1 again. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And boy, it caught my attention. It didn't say make a joyful noise about the Lord. It didn't say make a joyful noise even for the Lord. It said make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Boy, that brings a whole different perspective into this psalm of praise. Amen. Praise is not for man to see, though it is to be public as well as private. Amen. If you don't praise God privately, it's for sure you won't praise Him publicly. That's right. And if we praise Him privately and not publicly, or if we praise Him publicly and not privately, I think there may be a little streak of hypocrisy in us there somewhere. But there is joyful praise. Make a joyful noise. God has given a commandment under the heading of thanksgiving that my people ought to make a joyful noise. A joyful noise unto the Lord. I wonder how much of our praise actually ever reaches the Lord. Thanksgiving. I wrote this down. Some people think maybe if I lived somewhere else or if my circumstances were different, I would probably be able to do better. I doubt that because the Bible said make a joyful noise unto the Lord. All your lands. So it don't matter where you are, what your address is, and where your geographical location is, it doesn't matter. That fits into the category and the boundary and the scope of all your lands. And I know this, make a joyful noise. I know this and you know this. That verse number 1 has a prophetical interpretation about it. That there is coming a day, thank God, when Jesus, the Son of David, will occupy the throne of his father David, fulfilling the Davidic covenant of the Old Testament, which has not to this point been fulfilled. And it must be fulfilled or else God will have lied. But Jesus will sit one day literally upon the throne of his father David. And will, amen. You shall believe that. Well, the Bible's for believers. It won't keep you from going to heaven if you don't believe that. It may keep you from enjoying the trip. It may make the rapture of the church a big surprise to you. But either way, if you're born again and blood washed, your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life, you'll walk through the gate one day and say, well, what do you know? It was true after all. Amen. But it is a prophetical time referring to the day that when Jesus is going to be the king of all the earth. The king of all the earth, and every nation and every people upon the planet will worship him and honor him and glorify him and praise him. Amen. You know now when the rapture of the church, and I don't mean to get on stay on this, wasn't planning on even mentioning it, when the rapture of the church takes place, you say, well, it's not in the Bible. The word rapture, it's not in the Bible. The word Bible's not in the Bible. But that don't mean that we don't have a Bible. Amen. Amen. If you don't want to believe the rapture, just say, believe. You don't believe what 1 Thessalonians 4 says, a catching away. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. Amen. The dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. Harpezo, which where we get our word harpoon, to be thrust out. We're going to be taken out, snatched out. Amen. And of course, immediately and simultaneously, event takes place with the leaving of the bride, the believing of the saints, the appearing of Christ. There will be, amen, there will also be the appearing on the earthly scene, the man of sin, the Antichrist. He'll step on the scene. He'll make a covenant with Israel of peace. And he'll make a covenant with them, and he'll have all the answers to all the problems. He'll be a one world ruler. He'll usher in a one world currency. There'll be a one world religion. Hello? I'd like to deal with that a little more, but that's not my main message this morning. But the Antichrist, halfway through the 7 years of Jacob's trouble, he's going to break his covenant with Israel. He's going to set himself up upon the throne in Israel, and he is going to demand that he be worshipped. That is what the Bible is going to call the abomination of desolation. That's when God says, I will not share my throne. I will not share my glory. And God will pour literally hell on earth. Hey, are you listening? Judgment like this world has never seen. And I'll be gone. Thank God I'll be gone. Hallelujah. But listen, the joyful praise is not locational. The joyful praise is universal. The joyful praise is earthly. Yes, it has a prophetical meaning, but it also has a personal and present application. That is, right now, Jesus Christ is on the throne of your heart. As king, he reigns in your life now as king, and as a result, you can make a joyful noise unto the Lord. If he's not reigning in your heart now, what makes you think he'll be reigning in your land later? Amen. Listen, the word praise in the heading, and also the word make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands, there in verse number 1. The word praise means an extension of the hand. Have you ever thought about it? Let me say something to you as a congregation and also as our choirs. When you're singing or when the preacher's preaching and you raise your hand, though you may not say nothing with that, that extended hand should be backed by heart of praise. That is an act of praise to the Lord. Are you listening? You can sing and keep singing and raise your hand and say by that, praise God. You say, I don't believe that. Well, you better study your Bible. There's a lot in there about lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. There's a lot in there about the raising of the hands in the realm of worship. Amen. Raising of that hand. Brother Mark, was it you that, and I wish I'd have thought about this, I'd have thought it more through. Brother, was it you that was talking about, or somebody here was telling me about the reason our American soldiers salute? Brother Trav, maybe you could help us on this. We'll just figure this out as we go through it. They salute with their palm down. Because they're, how is that, Brother Mark? They're not showing an open hand. They're showing no surrender, because an open hand is an emblem of surrender. Amen. And so American soldiers, they salute with their hand down. I will not surrender to anyone. But when you worship God, you raise that hand and it's open and it's turned away from you and it's turned to Him, showing an emblem of surrender. We've surrendered to God and we praise your holy name. Now, if you raise your hand and you don't mean nothing by it, it means nothing to God. If you raise your hand because somebody beside of you is raising your hand or their hand, that means nothing to God. Are you listening? Amen. You don't do it to duplicate. You do it to honor God. You do that to praise His name. Amen. Hallelujah. And I think you ought to try it privately every once in a while. Riding down the road, you say, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You're just going to praise your name. Amen. Amen. Well, that's what the word praise means, an extension of the hand. It's by implication, making a vow to God. It is used as an expression of adoration, specifically in a choir of worshipers. The word praise used in the heading of our psalm is translated 18 times, the word thanksgiving. 3 times the word thanks, 3 more times the word thank offering. Are you listening? This word praise comes from another word. Of course, you know that's how they do. The one word comes from another word closely related, but it comes from another word that's translated praise 53 times. Give thanks 32 times. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying that praise and thanksgiving are interchangeable and are never inseparable. They're never separated. A person that is thankful is a person that's praising. A person that praises God is a person that, my friend, is thankful. Are you listening? Miss Debbie, she's not here, so I can tell this. She sent me a text this week. And, of course, you know sometimes when you're texting, you know, and you meant for it to type one thing and you click to go on to your next word. Well, that your phone's so smart, I mean, it goes back and corrects that other word, makes it something else. So she was sending me a text and she was going to say to me, praise the Lord. And for some reason, she didn't even catch it until I sent one back to her, but it came to me as prize the Lord. And I began to think about that. I sent it back to her. I said, prize the Lord. And she sent one back and she hadn't caught it yet. She said, smarty, or something like that. And then I sent the application back and I said, you can't praise the Lord if you don't prize the Lord. Our worship comes from His worth. If He's not valuable to you, if He's not big to you, if He's not a prize to you, you'll never praise Him. If you don't value His goodness to you, you'll never say with your heart, thank you, Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that's within me. Bless His holy name. Amen. Joyful praise is the first thanksgiving, or the first commandment of thankfulness. Joyful praise. Make a joyful. Make it. It's not automatic. It's not just going to happen. If it's done, you're going to have to make it. Your mouth is not made automatically to praise God. You don't have a nature in you that automatically is going to praise God. Your flesh will never praise God. The world will never praise God. The heathen will never praise God. There is joyful praise. The word joyful, let me just give you these two, couple things here. The word joyful refers to a spiritual joy. Did you know if your joy or the joy you're trying to find in life is carnal, fleshly, materialistic, financial, social, if any of those things are your areas of your search for joy, you will never make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You know why? This joy is spiritual. The joy, the noise you make to the Lord, the praise that you make to the Lord, the thanksgiving you make to the Lord, listen, church, comes out of the joy of your heart. If you're sad, you'll never be thankful. Isn't that right? If you're down in the dumps and depressed, you'll never thank God. Oh, thanksgiving and joy comes from our heart being filled with joy. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Of course, it's evident there that the joy is not supposed to remain inward only, because he attached the word noise to it. God says, I don't want you to just have joy unto the Lord in your heart, but I want you to make a joyful noise. I want you to make a joyful noise. Oh, you say, I don't like it. We think it ought to be quiet and refined. Show me that in the Bible. Now, I'm not talking about a church being turned into a circus and a free-for-all. I'm talking about, brother, the largest book of the Bible is a book of praise, a book of thanksgiving, a book of honor, a book of worship, and that's the book of Psalms. Spirituality, yes, it's on the inside. Thank God I've got joy in my heart this morning, but God doesn't want it to stay in my heart. He wants it to come out my mouth. He wants me to make a joyful noise, not unto you, but unto the Lord. You're going to like this. I wish I could have done a word study on it thoroughly, but I just got enough to bless me real good all over. The word joyful identifies a spiritual joy. If you're not joyful this morning with a spiritual joy, you're not thankful. You're not thankful this morning. Amen. Listen, the word noise. The word noise, everybody listening? The word noise means to split the ears with a sound. Man, that's so loud, it's busting my ears. To split the ears with a sound, to shout, to a shout for joy, to shout aloud, to shout for an alarm. Amen. Well, I preach, I just in my own refined little way, I worship God. Hey, you don't want to go to heaven, do you? You've just had a spell. Because this world's the quietest world you'll ever be in. Amen. You get to heaven, you think everybody up there is going to be mumbling? No, there's going to be a number that no man can number, going to be praising the Lord and honoring Him. You know, maybe don't do that every service, but I want to tell you, you ought to be subject to. Somebody asked Billy Kelly that one time, said, do you shout every time you go to church? He said, no, but I'm subject to. I'm subject to. Amen. But I did look at this. Brother Mike, this is good. This helped you to get us an idea of what this noise meant. I went back and found where else it was used. Guess where else it was used? It is used in Joshua chapter 6. About 5 times in that one chapter. In Joshua chapter number 6. When God was giving instruction to Joshua of how to overcome the inconquerable walls of Jericho. And he tells Joshua in verse 5, that it came to pass that when they make a long blast of the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout. There's the same word as noise in our text. With a great shout. Shout with a great shout. And the wall of the city shall fall down flat. And it's again used in verse number 10. It's again used in verse 16. And several other places in this chapter. And you know the story. When they did that, they shouted with a great shout. They shouted, Brother Jeter, before the walls fell. See, it's easy to shout after the walls fall. Amen. Hey, but to shout before the walls fall, shout so the walls can fall. That is a shout of faith that God said to do it. I don't see how on earth it's going to work, but I'm going to do it because God said to do it. And God usually sets it up to where when it's done, He'll get all the glory. Amen. None of that crowd, Joshua couldn't say, man, look what we did. Man, we scaled the walls. We planted bombs. We destroyed the foundation. We did this and then, oh, we just did it what God said. Hey, and we shouted with a great shout. And the Bible said the walls fell. You say, how loud a shout was it? It was loud enough to shatter walls. Maybe you ought to try that. You got walls of obstacles in your life. You got walls of opposition in your life represented by the Jericho walls. You got that in your life and saying you can't go no further. You can't defeat us. We're inconquerable. We're insurmountable. You can't go under it, around it, over it. Try us out. But, wait a minute. Don't just do the shouting part. Maybe I ought to preach on that. They had to do several other things. They were already in a good line of obedience to God. Amen. Before they ever got to the shout. In fact, the shout was the last thing they did. Amen. Don't try shouting your walls and shatter your walls when you're not being obedient. Amen. Well, maybe we can preach on that another time, but I thought that was very interesting that there in verse 5 and 10 and 16 and 20 of that passage of Scripture in Joshua, that same word was used. Amen. I don't know for sure. I didn't really get to do the research, but I've got a good idea that in 1 Samuel 17, when David had defeated Goliath, and after he'd killed Goliath, the Bible said all the men of Israel shouted for the battle. I don't know. I didn't get to look it up. Amen. But I got a good hunch that that's probably our same word. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Amen. The Lord loves loud worship. Everybody like that? That goes cross-grained with a lot, I know, but that's just it's in the Word of God. Amen. I mean, loud worship. Loud, not annoying, not distracting, not drawing attention to self. And if you're, listen, if you're being led of the Spirit of God and your heart is really wanting to magnify the Lord when you raise your hand or you say amen or you stand your feet or you run, make a lap around the building, people are not noticing you. They're not looking at you and saying, what a person, or why are they doing that? No, it is a reflection to God. You're giving God praise. Amen. Well, joyful praise. I got to get on. Number two, it may not get much better, but verse number two gives us a second command of thanksgiving. You know what it is? Serve the Lord. So not only were there joyful praise, verse one, but also there is glad service in verse two. It didn't just say serve, it said serve with gladness. It said serve the Lord with gladness. Now, this is a whole other message, but I noticed all the way down through this psalm here that it would give a statement, and then it would give an action. Here's the best way I can tell you. It would give an action, and then it would give an attitude. Make a joyful noise. Make a noise, but do it joyfully. Right. Serve, that's an action, but do it gladly. Right. Amen? Right. Action ought to be followed up with an attitude. Not just what you do, but how you do it. But then, listen, verse number 2 talks about glad service. Glad. Well, preacher, I go to church. I'm serving God. Woohoo! I go to church. Going to church is not serving God. Now, that may deflate your balloon a little bit. Going to church is not serving God. Going to church is where you get trained. Going to church is where you grow. Going to church is where you get instruction. Amen. Going to church is where you fellowship with other servants. Amen. But going to church is not service. And before any of you go too far with that now, I've never met anybody in my life that was much of a servant that did not have a church life. I'm going to hit both sides of that. Amen. That crowd that goes to church and that's all they do, they think that's serving God. Well, I'm doing my part, preacher. I go to church. That ain't serving God. But then I want you to know the other side is also wrong, equally wrong, and that's that crowd that don't ever go to church. You don't have to go to church to serve God. You don't have to go to church to be right with God. I want to tell you that's wrong. I've never seen anybody that didn't have a church life that had much of a spiritual life. I've never met one. Never. Never. I've never met anybody that had the power of God on their life that did not have a good vital attachment to a Bible preaching church. Amen. People talk about, and listen, I'm magnifying the grace of God. People talk about our youth choir having the touch of God on it, not just talent. I'd rather for them to talk about the touch 10 times, 100 times, 1,000 times more than talk about their talent. Hey, boy, they got harmony. That ain't what I'm interested in. They want to honor God. That's what I'm interested in. Man, they can sing. That's not what I'm interested in. I'm interested in serving God. Now, I want people to know, Brother Mike, that this youth choir didn't just fall out of the sky. Some of these kids I saw birthed physically into this world. And I preached a hide off of them ever since they was in diapers. And some of them's finally come around and said, yes, Lord. Amen. We've got a lot. I said, I and this church have a lot invested in the people here. Preaching to them. Amen. Amen. Right. If you're going to serve God, one thing you want to do is get in a church that's going to preach to you. Right. Amen. That's right, isn't it? Amen. That's sure enough right. Amen. Glad service. Serve the Lord with gladness. Where do you go to church? I don't. But I'm saved, preacher. Really? Jesus, now wait a minute, Brother Clipper, let me think here a minute. Jesus gave his life for the church. Jesus loved the church enough to die for it, but you won't even go to it? You need to tell that to somebody else besides me, because I don't believe a word of it. Amen. Preach, you being a hateful smart aleck. No, I'm not. I'm just being very bold. I'm just being very bold because, friend, you don't have to go far from where I'm standing to meet people by the groves, listen, that have no desire to go to church, but they'll tell you they're saved. Amen. And our church folk know my testimony, and I'm not going to retell it for their sake, but I want to tell you for our visitors' sake, listen, there was a time I left home over the issue of going to church. So you're not, listen, you're looking at a living example, buddy, of how salvation will take rebellion of going to church and don't want to go to church and a desire not to go to church and even to the point of run away from home over the subject. And then what made the difference? I got saved. Hallelujah. I got born again, and I'm talking that quick, buddy. I had a love in my heart for the house of God, the Word of God, the will of God, the work of God, the people of God. So you're talking to the wrong person to tell me, oh, I'm saved, preacher, but I don't ever want to go to church. Amen. That's right. Hello. Amen. Glad service. What a privilege it is to serve the Lord. Amen. If you're not careful, though, listen, if you're not careful, you'll serve God out of bondage. If you're not careful, instead of serving with gladness, you'll serve him out of obligation, and you'll say, well, I've got to do this. And listen, you know what that is? That's legalism. That's bondage. The Old Testament economy, the Israelites had to live right because it was the law. They had to live right because there was a bondage on them. But, oh, not the New Testament economy. No, sir, friend, we are servants, free bond slaves. We're love slaves. We don't do right and serve God and go to church and serve God. We don't do that, friend, out of obligation. And we don't do that, my friend, because of a law or a threat over us. We do it because we love the Lord. And we're thankful that He saved our soul from hell. Gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord, it means with pleasure. Serve the Lord with rejoicing. Serve the Lord with gladness. Well, in light of that, is it possible if you have much gladness if you're not serving? I think that one of the real joys of being a Christian is serving the Lord. I don't think a lot of people's got the joy that God intends for them to have because they're not serving. They're content with just going to church occasionally. Amen. What do you do outside this church? What do you do outside this church? What do you do when you're around sinners? What do you do when you're around sinners? Do you ever give them a gospel tract? You ever give them a gospel tract? Do you ever talk to them? Well, I invite them to church. Listen, and I'm not downplaying that. That is good. That is great. Invite them to church. But just so that you'll know this, they could come to every church service we have and still go to hell. Amen. Don't stop at an invitation to church. Lead the conversation. If it's not in the first time, make sure it's somewhere along in the way there that you take them to Calvary. You take them to Christ. He is the Savior. The church is not the Savior. The preacher's not the Savior. You're not. Jesus is the Savior. Until they get to Him, they're not saved. A lot of people, my friend, don't know enough about the Bible, don't have enough of their own experience, my friend, to even tell somebody about Jesus. My soul. Glad service is a commandment. Serve the Lord with gladness. Can I mention a third one real quickly? I don't even know what time it is. I started to say I better look at the clock instead of the countenances in here. Amen. But a third one, I'll give you this, and Florida, don't give me any leadership. I'll quit with this one. But here's the third one. Make a joyful noise. There is joyful praise. That's a Thanksgiving commandment. That's an imperative mood. It's an order. It's a command to be given. It's not going to be, although it's a command and an order, it's not forced on you. You can say no to it. It requires your obedience. It requires your will. It requires your submission. So there's joyful praise in verse 1. There's glad serving, service of gladness or glad serving in verse number 2. But verse number 3, there's the enjoyable presence. The enjoyable presence. He said, come before His presence with singing. There is, again, there is the action, come, and then there's the attitude, singing. Come before His presence with singing. Now, I know I preach a lot here, or it seems to me like a lot, and probably to you seems really like a lot, but I preach on music. I believe it's a vital part. I believe it's one of the greatest tools in the arsenal of the enemy to keep God's people defeated, keeping them living a crippled spiritual life, is to keep them feeding themselves with worldly, fleshly, humanistic, amen, worldly music. Your faith can't grow if the songs and music you listen to does not minister to your faith. Amen. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. The songs you listen to, listen, the music you listen to should not appeal to your flesh, but should appeal to your spirit and motivate your spirit. Shame on parents that buy your children garbage, filthy, ungodly music, and then ask the preacher to pray for them. Pray for my son. Pray for my daughter. They'll be saved. When you bought them some trashy music, CD or DVD for them to listen to. Say amen right there. Y'all might as well nod your head like this right here. Amen. That is the truth. And I've got plenty of time after service. I'll be glad to stay here and we can start in one end of the Bible and go through the other. And we'll talk about the music emphasis in the scripture if you want to. But you better want the truth before you make that challenge. Are you listening? Because I can show you time and again, and I'm not trying to make this a main point, but I do want to make it for emphasis. It's in the Bible. And I believe our churches are drying up, and I believe many of our churches are dead. It's 4 o'clock on Sunday morning because people fed their stinking flesh all week long with ungodly music. That's right. Come before His presence with singing. What kind of singing? Singing that will usher you into the presence of God. Singing that can be done with Him around. Amen. Amen. That's right. Come on now. You'd think if there's any church in Hawkins County be saying amen to that kind of preaching, it'd be this one. But I can preach on music, and I can preach on modesty, and I can preach on immorality and all that. And the quietest church in Hawkins County is the one I'm in right now. And that ought not to be. And y'all ought to know by now, I've been here 21 years, and you not saying amen is not going to deter me. If anything, it makes me feel like the guilty dog's in the hen house, and it makes me want to preach harder. And I'm not trying to be mean. And I'm not mean. I don't feel that. I don't feel I'm mean. I don't feel I'm in the flesh. I'm either. All preachers in the flesh, he's meddling. But I can show you in the Bible, friend, just in passing. I can show you in the scripture where ungodly music goes hand in hand with ungodly morals. Amen. Hello. I tell you, three that got thrown in the fiery furnace on account of the fact they wouldn't bow down to worldly music. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said the announcement went across the land. When you hear, and he mentioned all of those different instruments, when you hear the sound of those, which is our worldly music, our religious, listen, religious, that was religious worldly music. Said when you hear that, you bow down to the golden image. Everybody bowed down except Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They all bowed down. When they heard the music, they all bowed down to the image. Hello? I believe it with all of my heart that behind worldly music, there is a golden image that the devil intends for you to bow your adoration and bow your attention and bow your affection to. But thank God there are still yet a few that says, I'm not going to bow if I do burn. I'm not bowing to no image. I'm not letting worldly music control me. I'm not letting worldly music influence me. Amen. Some of you are looking nervous this morning. It's making me wonder why. And the first thought comes to my mind is guilty. Woo! Enjoyable presence. God said in the theme of thanksgiving, a commandment of thanksgiving, He said, come before His presence with singing. Amen. Lord, help us, Jesus. Enjoyable presence. Listen, can I ask you this? How important is the presence of God to you? How important is the presence of God to you? If the presence of God is not real important to you, neither will music be. Because God said, I want you to come into my presence with singing. Amen. You better get used to it. Heaven's going to be a place of singing. I don't know, Brother Fultz, if God's going to let us preach in heaven. That'd be a blessing, though, wouldn't it? I don't know that that's going to happen. But I can show you where we're going to be singing in heaven. So you better get used to it. And we're not going to be singing about a tear in my beer. And we're not going to be singing about, some wiggle, jiggle, dance logo. We're going to be singing, worthy is the Lamb. You know why? We're going to be in His presence. Come before. Listen, this has got a prophetical slant to it, this Psalm 100. There's coming a day, buddy, that the praises of God is going to go worldwide. Amen. His righteousness is going to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And brother, listen, hey, I'm going to be in there somewhere. I'm going to be in the middle of that innumerable host. Come before His presence. Listen, I've noticed in my own spiritual life, that when I start getting distant from the Lord, His presence don't mean near as much. I'm going to deal with this right here because the Lord told me to back when I was praying one day this week. I forgot all about it, but He evidently wants it right now. The devil will tell you when the preacher Rackley is preaching against something in your life. And I don't mind to do that if the Lord leads me to. And I'm going to do it with love. And I'm going to do it with boldness and sincerity because I want to help you. Amen. Preacher ain't worth the salt in his bread if he avoids truth that he knows that you need. Are you listening? But here's what, listen, God told me while I was praying. I know it's right. I know it's right. Devil will tell you, you need to leave. I guarantee you it's happening. Devil will slip up on your shoulder. Preacher Ackley's a nail in your sin. He's a dealing with your little pet things, and he's dealing with your little this and that and the other. And what you need to do, you just need to find you another church. Yeah, right. No, what you need to do is to get right with God. That's what you need to do. Amen. Don't get mad at the preacher and don't listen to the devil telling you, well, you just need to go elsewhere. No, what you need to do is to do what I've done for 30-something years when the preacher preached to hide off of me. Amen. Listen, a lot of people say, preacher, I'd like to be in your shoes now. A lot of young preachers, all that stuff. That don't go to my head because I know me and I know I'm just a product of grace. I know that. But I want to tell you, friend, ever since I got saved, Brother Silas, I'm talking about as soon as I got saved, I had old moppy hair, greasy, nasty, ungodly. That's what I was. And that preacher buddy began to preach. He didn't call me out and said, Barry, you didn't know. But he preached that truth, buddy, and that sharp two-edged sword, buddy, just, I mean, it just cut and trimmed and it sliced. And you know what I do? I didn't get mad. So, well, I can't believe he's preaching all that and dealing with all that, and I've got to quit all this. You know what I did? I said, praise God. I'm going to the altar. I go to the altar and get right with God. Amen. Hug a preacher's neck before I left. Say, thank you, preacher, for preaching to me. Amen. Amen. That's right. Amen. Amen. Best thing to do is just get right about it. Right. Amen. That's right. Well, hallelujah. How enjoyable is the presence of God in your life? How enjoyable is the presence of God in your life? Amen. Come on, RBT. Can y'all give me an amen right here? You know as well as I do, the Lord's been good to this church. The Lord's brought us a long ways. But I want to tell you, this church is a far cry from being where it needs to be. You compare to other churches, we may be a way ahead of the game, but they're not our standard. They're not our standard. Are you listening? I'm interested in this church going on to another level, and there's only one thing that's keeping us from going to another level, and that's sin. Lay aside every weight and sin that doth so easily beset us. There's the enjoyable presence of God. If God's presence means little to you, then also God's... this is a play on words. It's spelt the same. Or as far as I know, it's spelt the same. If God's presence means little to you, then also God's presence will mean little to you. God's presence, His presence, means little to you, then His provisions will mean little to you. His goodness to you, His protection in your life will mean little to you if God's presence don't mean much to you. Amen. How long's it been? How long's it been since you've been in the presence of God? How long's it been since you've been in the presence of God personally and privately? By yourself, alone, nobody around. You know, the Bible says enter in the closet and shut the door. You know why He says to do that? Because you are not trying to impress anybody when the door's closed. You're not worried about who's listening to you. You can be yourself when the door's closed. How long's it been since you've enjoyed the presence of God? And can I say something to you? If we're so, and I'm going to make it general to us, if we're so right with God, then how long's it been since you've been in His presence? If it's been a while, or you can't even remember when, there's something wrong. There's distance between you and the Lord. Come into His presence with thanksgiving, with singing. Come into His presence with singing. Make the advancement. You make the choice. You choose the and chart your direction. Come into His presence. Find out where He is and make your way to Him. Come into His presence with thanksgiving.